Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, no matter where you're listening, around the world, this is Sedona Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pandora's Box. This is Kalia, and today is Tuesday, December 2nd, 2014. So welcome to December, where we have the winter solstice coming up, the darkest time of the year. We've got the holidays, just finished Thanksgiving, so we're in a very special and celebratory time of year. I'm really excited to be here to be broadcasting for so many years. This is just always exciting for me to put together a show and come on board with you, share what I'm learning, what I'm going through myself, what I'm helping other people through. And the topic of our show today is waiting on forgiveness, because forgiveness is a word that is so misunderstood. It's as misunderstood as the actual act of forgiveness itself. How does one forgive the unforgivable? How does one go beyond the pain of the trespass upon one's soul? Wikipedia says forgiveness is the intentional and voluntary process by which a victim undergoes a change in feelings and attitude regarding an offense, lets go of negative emotions such as vengefulness with an increased ability to wish the offender well. Forgiveness is different from condoning, which is failing to see the action as wrong and in need of forgiveness. Excusing, not holding the offender as responsible for the action. Forgiveness is not pardoning, granted by a representative of society, such as a judge. Forgiveness is not forgetting, removing awareness of the offense from consciousness. And it is not reconciliation, which is the restoration of a relationship. I think a lot of times when people think of forgiveness, they think that they are excusing, pardoning, forgetting, and possibly even opening up for a reconciliation of a relationship. There's some teachers out in the world who say it's easy to forgive, just decide to do so. And when you find in your own journey that you would love nothing more than to forgive, but simply deciding to forgive has not brought you the peace you long for, forgiveness really is about peace. It's about peace for oneself, the one doing the forgiving. Because the very act of forgiveness is somehow to release the burden on one's soul that anchors him or her to a heavy weight that just doesn't go away. In this episode of Pandora's Box, I'm not going to tell you that you need to forgive. That's not what this is about. This is not my place. But I am going to talk to you about the many faces of forgiveness and the energy that plagues one who desperately wants to release the burden but can't find the way to how. It is said time heals all wounds, and with time we hope forgiveness will come. But some people drag their burdens of anger and resentment through life, and it eats at them from the inside out. time was not enough for them. Quite the opposite. Time seemed to make those burdens heavier, carrying a heavy load that just seems to get heavier the longer that you carry it. If forgiveness was like a heavy backpack, and all you had to do was take it off and put it down, then it would be as easy as that. But it isn't. At least not for those who are dealing with really huge trespasses that involve betrayal and infidelity and the shattering of trust that can never again be rebuilt. There are times in life that the trespasses against us can be reckoned with. We can find a way in our hearts to let it go and even give the trespasser another opportunity to show they can be trusted. But when there have been one too many painful circumstances, when it feels one's heart has been ripped out, when it feels one has been stabbed in the back, when it feels the person you've built your life around has thrown you to the wolves, forgiveness is no longer something that you do. Instead, it becomes something that you are. True forgiveness, in my opinion, is not something that you decide to do, although setting the intention to forgive is a decision. True forgiveness happens when there's nothing left to forgive, because it just doesn't matter anymore. The trespass becomes a part of the past, so to speak. You've found a way to move on beyond the pain and the anger and everything in between, and it no longer has a grip on you. When someone trespasses against you and realizes his or her trespass, takes responsibility for it, it's much easier to forgive. When one comes to you and says to you, "I'm so very sorry for how I treated you. You never deserved that. I don't know what was wrong with me. I wasn't thinking. I was selfish. There's nothing I can do to change what I did, and I don't expect you to forgive me, but I want to let you know how very sorry I am." Now, if sincere, that is an apology. And when that kind of apology comes to you, it is much easier to forgive that person. You might find yourself forgiving that person on the spot. But once again, forgiveness does not mean you're open for business. It doesn't mean that you're going to allow that person back into your life in the same way. In some cases, yes, maybe, but in other cases, no. When someone is accountable for his or her behavior, it's so much easier to forgive. But even then, it's unwise to forget. There's a saying, "Hurt me once, shame on you. Hurt me twice, shame on me." This simply means that once you see what a person is capable of, you need to consider that this could very well be the character of the person, and it could happen again. It's your job to be sure it doesn't. If it does happen again, then you are just as much at fault as the other, because you trusted someone who has already shown himself or herself to be untrustworthy. Forgiving someone in no way suggests we open the door to our hearts or our lives and allow that person to walk back in. Forgiveness is more like letting that person go, releasing him or her, and releasing any expectation or need that the trespasser will ever be accountable or realize his or her wrongdoing. Release any need for that person to change. Forgiveness is when we can finally release that burden on our heart and feel free again to live and to love without this constant weight upon us. Nobody has the right to tell you how long it should take to forgive someone. However, if decades pass and you're still carrying the burden, you might not be doing your inner work. the more we're able to take responsibility for how that trespass affected us and work through our pain, our anger, our rage, and all the complex web of emotions, the sooner we'll come to forgiveness. But working through complex, painful emotions can be a long process. If we commit to working through our pain instead of blaming others for our pain, we'll come to forgiveness much quicker. The myth around forgiveness is that it means you are forgiving the other person his or her debt against you. For example, if you lend a friend $1,000 with the agreement you'll be paid back within a certain amount of time, and that time comes and goes and you still haven't been paid back, you might find yourself getting angry and resentful and continuing to engage with that person negatively, asking that repayment be made. You may find that you're carrying this anger and resentment around with you for years because this person, who was once a friend, didn't honor the agreement. And then one day you decide that carrying this grudge is getting very heavy, and you decide to release the debt. This means you decide you're not going to allow that person's lack of integrity be a burden on the rest of your life. Once you can release that debt in your own mind and stop trying to collect it and stop letting it take up so much room in your mind, you can surrender to a higher power and realize the person who owed you money is not your source and doesn't have the power to make you rich or poor. You open yourself up for that money coming to you through another avenue. You release your attachment to that person and never bring up the debt again. You may have already decided that person is not your friend, but that person is also no longer your enemy. It takes energy to have enemies. Enemies are people we fight against and hold grudges against. And sadly, some of our best friends and lovers can become our worst enemies. The closer we come to a person, the closer we come to the inner demons of that person. And sometimes those inner demons are destructive to anyone who comes too close. We all have our own inner demons, too. Part of the process of forgiveness is to understand that your demons are not my demons. This means that you are not responsible for the inner demons another person is struggling against. If you continue to try and help someone who is self-destructive or destructive to others, you might be asking to take on those problems in many ways. The helper in you may decide to try and help someone who seems to need your help, but you may end up with someone who bites the hand that feeds them. You may try and help someone who feels entitled to your help and can't appreciate what you're doing for them. When you experience a betrayal with someone like this, someone who cannot appreciate or value you in his or her life, you're fighting a losing battle. You can't make someone appreciate all that you have done to help when that person is too lost within himself or herself to grasp the hand that is reaching down for them. Instead, they might bite it. This isn't your fault. However, if you keep reaching out your hand to a drowning person and that person cannot recognize that you come in peace and goodwill and a desire to help, that person may bite your hand or pull you down with them. Either way, it's not good for you. It's also really important to look at what your intent is for helping somebody. Is it really out of a desire to help, or is it a desire to get something from that person, such as love or approval or admiration? When you can finally let go of someone and say, your fate is your own, and not feel any further obligation to help that person, you're on your way to forgiving that person for biting you and pulling you down. Jesus said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. These are very important words in the process of forgiveness, because we can't assume that everyone we come in contact with is at the same level of emotional awareness that we are at. You can't assume that everyone you invite into your life is as conscious as you are. People act from their own level of awareness. And on a scale of 1 to 100, there are many levels of conscious awareness. We have to assume in life that there are many people who are at a higher level of awareness and many people who are at a lower level of awareness. If you're someone who continues to invite people into your life who are at a lower level of awareness and try to go about educating them, healing them, or attempting to lift them up, time for you to reevaluate your purpose in this life. Because although it may seem divine to help those who are more needy than oneself, neediness can be a noose around one's neck if he or she's not careful. It's better to be a teacher for one who is less aware than to be a lover or a friend. Because when you attach yourself to someone much lower on the emotional awareness spectrum, you very well may be pulled down to his or her level of awareness, when all along you believed you were pulling that person up. And this happens a lot with the healer archetype, people that are healers by nature. If helping others is your profession, great. Because with professions, we have professional boundaries and can separate personal from professional, hopefully. But personal relationships are an entirely different thing. If you find yourself aligning with people that you don't see eye to eye with, you need to understand that when the trespass happens, that person will not see it through your eyes. And often this is what we're waiting for. When we wait for someone to see things the way that we do, we may be waiting a lifetime. It's not your role to convince a person to see the wrong of his or her actions or behavior. It's more so your job to align yourself with people who see from the same basic perspective and perhaps live by the golden rule, do unto others as you would have done unto you. One very painful part of the forgiveness process is self-reflection and evaluation. True forgiveness can't happen without it. You must be able to peer into your own darkness and take responsibility for your part in the drama that has played out in your life, leaving you with a huge burden of unforgiveness. One who is reeling in the pain of the fallout after a major trespass may ask, "Why should I be the one who does all the work when this person is the one who did the dirty deed?" That answer is sad but true, that the other person may very well not see the error of his or her ways and might even blame you and move on without any conscience about what happened. This is often the result of lower level consciousness, lower level awareness. People, in their effort to see themselves as good, will twist things around in their favor, blame others, and cut off from the experience in order not to be reminded. Because being reminded may trigger guilt or a sense of responsibility that they're not ready to face. People need to see themselves as good. They don't want to see themselves as mean or horrible or awful in any way. Certainly not narcissistic. So you're the one who is left with the burden of feeling unresolved. And isn't that burden of feeling unresolved what is behind your inability to forgive? What in you is unresolved? What do you need to resolve within yourself in order to let that person go completely? Some will say they need to resolve their anger, their feelings of betrayal, their feelings of sadness and loss, their feelings of grief, their feelings of abandonment and rejection, their feelings of unworthiness. Regardless of what the trespasser has done to you, your feelings are ultimately your responsibility. So, what did that person's actions or behavior trigger in you? What are the true feelings you're having as a result of what has happened? In some of my most intense experiences, I felt an array of emotions I had to work through, including sadness, grief, loss, feelings of abandonment, betrayal, rejection, unworthiness, rage, anger, and the whole lot. In fact, many of my clients go through these same emotions. There is not just one emotion that must be reconciled, but a whole spectrum of what we refer to as the dark emotions. When you're experiencing the intensity of a whole spectrum of dark emotions, forgiveness is the last thing on your mind, and it is as it should be. This is not the time to forgive. What would you be forgiving? You can embrace the journey and accept that this is your journey and the other person is not taking it with you, or may not even give a rip how dark and painful your journey is right now. When you can do this, you can begin to release the other person from any responsibility for your emotional pain, because that person doesn't give a rip about your pain and won't do anything to help you through it. You have to take this journey alone, just as you had to be born alone and will have to die alone. Sometimes we desperately want that person who trespassed against us to know how much they've hurt us. We want that person to care about our pain. We may even unconsciously stay stuck in the pain to somehow convey to that person how much they have destroyed our lives. We may unconsciously allow our lives to be destroyed, hoping the very person who has harmed us will want to help us out of our pain or somehow make it right or feel guilty. When you're in pain, you're the only person who has the power to make it right. The best attitude is to say to yourself, I'm not going to allow this person to destroy my life. Have you ever heard the best revenge is living well? Well, make living well the goal. It's also important to develop an attitude that says, what you have done is a reflection on who you are, not who I am. What you have done shows me who you are, not who I am. Sometimes the hardest part of working through pain is when we blame ourselves for the actions and behavior of another person. We take it on. We jump to the conclusion that it is somehow our fault we were treated this way, that it says something about us, like we're not worthy of love or respect or care. This is an archaic belief that stems from your first years of life. Your undeveloped mind may have found a way to interpret your parents' inability to meet your needs for love, affection, attention, and proper care to a belief that you're not worthy of these things. Beliefs stay rooted in the subconscious until we are emotionally developed enough to deal with them, or until such a time where it hurts us too much not to deal with them. It can be very helpful to see the person who has trespassed against you as merely the trigger rather than the cause. He or she is the one who has opened up your Pandora's box and released all those painful emotions you've been sitting on your whole life. You've been provided an opportunity to work through those emotions so that you can clearly see that the other person's behavior has nothing to do with who you are. The other person's behavior has everything to do with who he or she is, not you. The first stage of forgiveness is to realize that this has nothing to do with me. And the second part is to realize this has everything to do with me. So, are you confused? What has nothing to do with you is that person's actions and behavior. What has everything to do with you is your reaction to that person's actions or behavior. You are not responsible for what that person has done, but you are responsible for how you act and react to that person's behavior. When you take that person's behavior personally, you may be berating yourself, beating yourself up for something someone else has done, so you have to be very careful about not doing that. And also, I want to make it clear that there's no reaction that is wrong or right. I mean, oftentimes when somebody betrays us, we'll react in anger and rage and maybe even retaliation. And we're not labeling that as wrong or right. But in order to heal, in order to move forward, in order to come to forgiveness, you've got to take responsibility for how you are continuing to act, react, and respond to the memory of what that person has done. We come to forgiveness not when we accept the actions and behavior of the other as okay, because we may never do that. May never be okay. We come to forgiveness when we work through our own feelings about what that person has done or not done. When we ourselves become emotionally clean and clear of any kind of emotional charge having to do with that person's dirty deeds, we naturally have reached a point of forgiveness. So forgiveness is clearly an emotional process of working through our own feelings of anger, rage, and pain, as well as any sense of injustice that we carry as a result of this trespass. To say, "I forgive you," may suggest that you are setting that person free of any responsibility. Forgiveness is not something we say to another person. The greatest forgiveness is actually unspoken. You can say, "I forgive you," and not fully feel resolved. You can feel fully resolved and never say, "I forgive you." So the words you speak have nothing to do with how resolved you feel. When you feel resolved, there's nothing to forgive. However, you may not invite that person back into your life because you now have the understanding that the person is acting from a level of awareness that can be damaging and destructive to you. So in this sense, forgiveness also involves learning your lesson. Often the most important person to forgive is ourselves. We have to forgive ourselves for blaming ourselves for so long, for putting ourselves in harm's way, for failing to recognize our own worth and value, for allowing people into our lives who mistreat us, and for mistreating ourselves. The gift that can come through forgiveness is a more powerful relationship with yourself, because as you work through your own dark emotions, your own self-blame and self-rejection, you can slowly learn to see yourself through new eyes, the eyes of the beloved, the flame of light within that burns for you as you, the flame of life that is you. I posted that on Facebook today. I really like that. To see yourself through the eyes of the beloved, the flame of light that burns for you as you, the flame of life that is you. In the process of forgiveness, we release any attachment we have that the other person will ever change or see things the way we want them to. But it's also a process of understanding where our power lies, Our power lies in knowing we are truly the only one who can save us from ourselves. What is the self we need saving from? Well, it is the wounded part of ourselves who is attached to a destructive belief system about who we are. It is that belief system that tells us we're not good enough, not worthy of love or kindness. When we operate from the belief that we are not worthy of love or kindness, we unconsciously bring into our lives those who mirror to us our own belief of self as not worthy. We're treated as if we don't matter, as if we're not important, as if what we feel doesn't matter. And when you can uproot this destructive belief system, you can begin to find love and compassion for yourself and for that part of you that suffers as a result of this negative belief system or destructive belief system. The more you learn to love and value yourself, the more you will draw into your reality people who love and value you. The more you harbor negative beliefs about yourself, the more you will draw into your reality people who show you how little you truly care for yourself. If you want to change the caliber of people in your life, look at how you really believe about yourself. Look at your pain and begin by loving yourself in your pain. Love the one who suffers. Don't blame her for her suffering. Love her in her suffering. Love him in his suffering. You'll never need to try and forgive anyone. Don't try to forgive. Allow forgiveness to come in its own time through the process of healing yourself and releasing the pain you have attached to your trespasser. It's important to understand how we do attach our pain to our trespasser. We make the trespasser responsible for our pain. And when that person doesn't take responsibility, it can feel as if our healing is dependent upon the other person somehow. We're waiting on an action, an apology, accountability. To truly cut the psychic and emotional cords of attachment, we have to release the need we have to get anything further from that person who has harmed us. So it's helpful to ask yourself, what do I need from that person right now? And secondly, ask, am I willing to let go of needing this from that person? If you need love, validation, accountability, an apology, or anything else, ask if you can give it to yourself. I can love myself. I can validate myself. I can be accountable for how I act and react to what has been done. I can apologize to myself for unknowingly putting myself in harm's way. Taking responsibility for your suffering is not always an easy process, but it's the only way to truly break free from your attachment to your trespasser. The more you try and put your suffering on your trespasser, the more you prolong the suffering. Because the trespasser, especially if a narcissist, will not give a rip about your suffering and even blame you for it. He or she will seldom ever feel guilty or responsible or remorseful for his or her actions. He or she will feel entitled to do exactly what was done. So the more you go after that person trying to get him or her to see the error of his or her ways, the more you invest your energy in something that will not have the desired outcome. And this is why I suggest cutting off contact with that person, at least until you feel fully clean and clear with that relationship and no longer feel attached or affected by what happened. Once true forgiveness is complete, you can run into that person or have a casual conversation without any emotional charge. The energy has been taken out of the relationship because you've taken the time to purge the emotions that kept you holding on to a toxic relationship or blaming that person for what he or she did or didn't do. I'm not saying that some of the crimes against you are not horrendous. They are. I've heard too many stories of the hell people go through at the hands of a trespasser. You can't blame yourself for the hell. You find yourself there, yes. You're responsible for finding your way through, yes. You're responsible for dealing with what is being triggered in you, yes. But you're not in any way responsible for the bad behavior of the other person. And I'm saying this over again. I'm repeating myself because this is so important. I see so many people blaming themselves. So don't blame yourself for what the other person has done, but do take responsibility for getting yourself out. Let's say someone locks you in a cage and leaves you there. You're imprisoned. And it's the other person's fault that you're in the cage. You can't blame yourself for being in the cage, but it is your responsibility to figure out how you're going to get out of that cage. Otherwise, you resign yourself to being there for the rest of your life or until that person decides to set you free, which probably isn't going to happen. You can't forgive the one who has caged you as long as you're still in the cage, right? That's insanity. You have to break free of the cage and put time and distance between you and your cager. And then after a time, that person will be so insignificant in your life that the time in which you were caged no longer consumes your thought processes. It becomes just a memory, a bad one at that, but one that showed you your own strength to break free of that cage. When you're in love with someone, there's an emotional charge of love. When you're angry and hateful towards someone, there's an emotional charge of hate, which is the opposite end of the spectrum. But when you forgive someone, the meter returns to zero. The emotional charge has dissipated. You are neutral. You are indifferent. It no longer matters. It no longer consumes you. It no longer takes your energy. This is forgiveness. As long as there's an emotional charge, there are emotions to be worked through. If there's a huge emotional charge, there are a lot of emotions to work through. Denying yourself your feelings does not get you anywhere. Allowing yourself the full spectrum of feelings is what will set you free in the long run. This is how the emotions are released. So be willing to show up for yourself emotionally and be with what you feel without judgment. Do not judge what you feel as right or wrong. What you feel is what you feel. Learn to be there for yourself in your current emotional state, no matter what it is. This is where true healing comes from. And if you need help, assistance, support, hypnotherapy, anything to help you with this process, this is my passion. This is what I do. So you can contact me through my website, narcissismfree.com. or pathbacktoself.com. So that's narcissismfree.com or pathbacktoself.com. I want to thank you for listening, and I will see you next time.